This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
And here we go again. Yeah.
Well, finally, we're back.
Yeah. My big news for the week. Boy turned 16 on Sunday, and he got his license today. So another chapter. I don't know if it opens, closes. I don't know. Start a new one.
One ends, new one begins. Yeah.
It's a turning point. Not necessarily the birthday so much as the license. It's like, okay, now we got to keep you alive at a different level because you're driving around a 1,000-pound vehicle or whatever.
Now the oh shit's become a little bit bigger.
Yeah. When I get that phone call, it's like, So
no shits and the mistakes, they're worse than they were before.
Yeah, you can't just go, oops. Yeah, I was in the ditch and then I was in this other ditch and then I missed the tree, but I may have hit a sheriff's car.
It's terrifying and exhilarating at the same time.
I was funny. We got his license, came back, went to get the insurance all squared away. They go to lunch from 12 to 1. I didn't realize that. I don't go to the insurance place that often, but it's like, so we didn't go. But the other day he was commenting about one of his buddies, friends, acquaintances through school or whatever, hitting a light pole.
Oh, Jesus.
So he's backing up at the insurance agent, and guess what he does? He hits a light pole.
Oh my god.
He hit the concrete part and it wasn't bad. And it's like, this is why you got $1,000 truck and you're not driving new. It's because you can't really hurt it just added another like character of scratch, scratch of character. But I was chuckling. I'm like, well, you got your first light pole. You didn't know how someone did it. Now you do. Didn't look out the other mirror.
Wait, was he making fun of them or he's like,
I don't know
how he did it?
I will.
Karma hit fast.
Yep. I jumped right on that one. I was kidding. But he's learning how to drive a manual and he's doing excellent so far. So for what limited time he's had on it. If you're a dude that doesn't know how to drive a manual, find someone that has one, learn how to drive it.
I'll look into that.
That should be a skill for every male to do is learn how to drive a manual. I know we've talked about this, CJ. Mm-hmm. Did we talk about it on the podcast or were we talking some? Yeah, we talked podcast, didn't we?
Yeah.
That should be on everyone's list. Go buy it. Buy a $1,000 junk vehicle or even a $500 one that the clutch barely works in, learn how to drive the thing, and then sell it to somebody else so they can learn how to drive it.
Yeah.
That way, if you go
anymore,
overseas,
it's a lost skill.
Yeah, all of our semis are pretty much going to automatic. It's almost pointless.
Yeah.
Even, what is it? There's a school called TMC that teaches all the truck drivers. All of them are automatic now. Automatic.
Yeah. Well, but that's just lowering the intelligence level of the people that do drive. But I think it's funny because working for the farmer and stuff and driving his newer truck is automatic, but everything else is stick. Well, him and one of the other grain haulers, they're starting to run out of, they only can find old guys to drive the trucks. Because no one can drive automatic or drive the manuals.
Yeah.
So, the old farm boys are still, it's like, we got to find the 80-year-old guy because he can still, it's like, you actually know how to drive. Yeah, no, I don't know, stick. I can drive a 10-speed, drive a 13. Yep. Learned on a 13-speed Road Ranger. So, yeah. It's like, kind of laugh and chuckle. And it's like, but yeah. But you go overseas, pretty much wherever I've gone, everything's still manual.
Standard, yeah.
Yeah.
Still write in cursive.
No, they write in whatever language they are, but yeah, probably still do. I'm happy my boy actually worked on that to learn how to sign his name. I didn't even know they didn't teach that anymore. I'm like, that's something you need to know how to do. Yeah, so
well,
that still pisses me off.
It's a lost art.
Well, or at least learn how to scribble your name. I go to so many places to sign paperwork and they print their name. I'm like,
that's weird. It's
something, but it's like,
yeah.
Can you not even do a doctor scribble? I mean,
yeah, just a squiggle line. And
yeah, yeah. I'd rather have the X than sit there and spell out 15 letters. It's like,
I did get worst signature I ever gotten yesterday. So we have to get a driveway waiver for everyone we go on, and this guy signed it, and I don't really look at it, but whenever I came back, my boss looks at it, he's like, did you do that? What are you talking about? And I look down, and it looks like a big circle. I just start laughing like, no, but this is awesome.
Semi-related, I always wonder, like on movies and TV shows, when they show somebody signing their name for something, whether it's a package or legal documents, or I wonder, are they signing their name, or do they sign as their character's name?
Or are they signing like Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck?
Yeah, or whatever. Are they just,
this is just stupid.
Yeah. Are they writing, you know, funny stuff, or are they, you know, they just, you know, I think there's something, in John Wick in the beginning where he gets the puppy and the whatever he signs, I'm wondering, is he writing Keanu Reeves, or does he write John Wick, or he's like, fuck this dog, like, you know, it's
like, this dog's gonna die.
yeah I'm only doing this because I'm supposed to. Like,
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
So
yeah, that was my fun and excitement for today. So, all right, should we go off with a big question?
Did you guys go see any fireworks or anything?
Oh,
lit some off.
You did?
Yeah, actually,
my kid lights some off, and that was it.
Yeah, because I have the girls for the 4th of July every year. So anymore, we go, like, I'll get a package of, like, whatever, it's a pre-package, got everything in it kind of thing, and that's stuff that they can light off, plus we'll get some other small stuff, and then I'll buy a thing of artillery shells, like the big almost like
the big soup booms. Cans,
yeah, not soup can size, but almost. And fortunately this year the bill was less than it was the previous year. And it's like, oh, well, we bought less stuff and maybe I caught some things on sale and just didn't realize it. Turns out they didn't charge me for the artillery shells. So I got $100 worth of artillery shells for zero.
Nice.
So the neighbors had some stuff, and then they had some friends that live like a block or two away come over, and so it just turned into a three family 4th of July. Yeah. So all the little kids, you know, there's my neighbor has three, I have two, and the family that came over has four. So there's all these kids lighting off little, you know, parachutes and tanks and sparklers and fountains and all that sort of stuff. And then one of the other dads bought some artillery shell stuff. But his were the smaller little ball ones. And mine were, like I said, the bigger canister ones. And so he lit those off. Like he lit one of them off, and I was like, oh, that's cute. And I put one of mine in. And, you know, it's like, goes twice as high and is, you know,
twice as loud.
But then it was funny. He's like, oh yeah. And then he had these three little fountains, and I swear they were only like little, they look like big fat crayons. and he stuck him in the ground and he lit him. And literally, it was almost like a welding torch. Like, it was just, the fountain was only like like a welding torch flame. That was it. And it changed different colors. And he's like, oh yeah, you think those artillery shells are impressive? Well, check this out. 3 of them for a buck. I mean, it was awesome. It turned out to be lots of fun. It was a good time. And all the kids had fun. So that's good.
I have neighbors that shoot off tons and tons of fireworks, but it's like, I got to work tomorrow. I want to go to bed. That's how I am. I'm like, I don't know. They almost got to be over the top for me to even enjoy them anymore. It's like,
yeah,
the big bangers and all of that, like the artillery shells. It's like, maybe if I was out camping or something, that would be fun. But when I'm at home and the dog is going nuts, I'm like,
at least I don't have to worry about that. At least not right now. Don't have a dog.
My dogs sleep right through it.
No.
See, you got good dogs. I need one of them kind. Mine, yeah. Well, actually, mine wanted to go out and play with them. Wasn't actually scared of the fireworks, but she's sitting there whining and crying and everything because they were all running around the porch in the yard, shooting them all off. I don't know how my yard got designated, but it was like, shut up, whiny. Yeah,
louder than the fireworks.
Shut exactly. in that high-pitched whine.
I know all about that fucking shit.
You and your sissy dog.
He gets bored. Give him a break. Dude's too smart for his own fucking good, and he knows if he does it enough, he'll get whatever he wants.
So he's like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It never grows up.
Allie will give him what he wants. I'll just yell at him.
Fair.
I can do it too. When you start doing it back to them, they just look more confused and then do it louder.
Yeah.
It's entertaining though.
Yeah, because you know the dog is basically saying, okay, seriously, like, I don't know what you're trying to do here. I asked you for the thing.
So do you want it too?
You just jibber jabber back, and now I'm asking for you the thing loud. Now I'm asking for the thing louder and slower, so you actually understand me.
Do you not understand me, or do you understand me? You're just saying.
Do you
it
not
back?
Understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Dogs could actually talk.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to hear half of it.
Ooh. No.
You call that doggy style?
Yeah. If dogs could talk, they'd be like, did you see what they did last night?
Just because you put me in my crate doesn't mean I'm blind. I can hear everything twice as loud.
Just because you're spelling out words, I still know what you're saying.
Yeah. My mentor had a dog that knew how to spell. There was like certain words you just couldn't say, and then they started spelling it out, like going to play with the ball or going to wherever
for
or whatever.
Walk, yeah.
Yeah. And he learned how to spell. Yep. He was that smart.
Jesus.
Yep. A freaking shepherd.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Knew all kinds of words. Yeah. So he was a genius. An actual one, not like Wile E. Coyote.
Super genius.
At least mine haven't figured out how to spell, because FOD is the main word for them. That if they figure that out, we're all fucked.
You'll have to go with something like blue is the code word. What? Blue.
Yeah, but then you say it enough times and then they get the FOD right after. You're fucked.
Well, that's when you got to keep changing the code word on them to screw with them. Yeah. You know, once a month you change the code word.
We got to start writing it down.
Yeah, rotate.
Hold up a sign. Go like cartoon.
Yeah. We're going to have to do a sign language.
Yeah. Shit, they'll probably figure that out too. Yeah.
They're smart. Too smart. And it's a good thing they can't talk back. With Ella, or what would that be? Talk back with words you can actually understand. Because they talk back.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
I was going to, Aries, my Doberman, has this new, well, it's not a new thing, but instead of whining, he does this more now. If you're on the couch, he'll just stare at you.
Oh, that's always fun.
And then stomp his feet. I didn't know that was a thing dogs do.
Yeah,
I didn't either.
Mm-hmm. He'll stomp his feet if he's impatient.
Yeah.
He'll just stand there and then start stomping them and then looks harder at you.
I'd almost want to sit there to see how far he'll go. You know, it's like.
So check out Barbarian Rhetoric or patreon.com/BRNation for video of Aries
doing a stare down with the foot stomp.
Good 15 minutes at a time, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Just live stream it. There you go.
It would be super boring, but he wouldn't move. Only to stomp.
Stomp. Wouldn't that be like, what is it? ASMR?
ASMR. Yeah. ASMR. Just have it real quiet. You can narrate. You can narrate it in the back. Is he in the room with you?
Yeah. I did the whine. I thought he was going to wake up.
It's funny.
They're both in here. Usually when they're in here, they're all doing stuff, but they're asleep now. So it's perfect. Until Allie gets home, and then you'll hear everything.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And or you're ready to go to bed. And then they'll be like, oh, time, play time.
Just like kids.
Yep. They get put in their room. I've had them stay out and kind of roam the house, but they are annoying as fuck. You hear the click clat, them running around. Well, we have to shut the door. They try to get in the bed, and a queen size bed and two dogs,
like bigger dogs. Yeah.
It's not very comfortable.
Just like kids.
Need to cuddle. Just need to cuddle more.
Spooning with the dogs.
They'll push you off the bed.
Sounds about right.
I thought Allie was bad. They're worse.
Wait till you have kids. And they crawl into bed with you. And the smallest body takes up
the most
amount of space.
It's like, how?
I have a king size mattress. How is it that you have 90% of it?
I'm sleeping on the edge, trying not to fall out.
Yeah.
I'm glad those days are far behind me. Thank goodness.
Yeah. I got those ahead of me.
You do. We're going to be making fun of you when you're talking about it in later podcasts. So
I cannot believe this kid. It's laying perpendicular.
For some reason, I know that's going to happen because that's how I used to sleep diagonal in my beds.
Yeah. And then I had my youngest would always, it's like she needs to be in contact with me, but it could be like a toe or a finger or an elbow, like it didn't matter. The other one was the same thing, but it basically was all of her. So it's like every time you move to make room, she would magically end up rolling to you. It's like,
yep.
I'm trying to get away. Like,
and then you push them to the other side.
And then, roll right back downhill.
Did you ever push her out of bed by accident, Jimmy G?
Actually, no, I have not. Oh. Or maybe I have, but there was a time where the mattress was just on the floor.
Oh, okay.
So even if I did, it,
yeah. I think I pushed Alex out once by accident. It was,
Well, and see, by accident, you mean with a big kick?
Yeah, I don't
drop kick in the bed.
Big boot.
I used to punt the dogs out of the bed because I wrap my feet up.
No. Whenever you say punt, all I think about is you grabbing it and punting it at least 30 feet into the other
room. I might as well. But I used to move around more, but I flipped from one side to the other side. And I used to have a couple of different dogs that at the time I used to let them sleep in the bed and everything, but they would want to sleep right on my feet. So when I tried to flip from one side to the other, I couldn't. Well, that would piss me off. Not quite wide awake. And I would just rear back and go and kick them off the end of the bed.
Yeah.
That would be the end of it. Back when I didn't care if everything was covered in dog hair and so forth and so on. But it's like one of those where he wasn't sleeping on the bed normally. And it's like, don't tangle up my legs anywhere else. Yeah. But I don't know if I actually kicked him out. He rolled out of bed, but he was on the floor come morning. I do remember that. So something happened in the middle of the night that he ended up on the floor, and he's turned out all right. So it wasn't like it hurt him or anything.
Yeah. In college, or maybe it was just after college, I was dating somebody who had cats, and that wasn't actually a bad deal. They were older cats. They were declawed. No big deal. Her roommate, however, had like a cat kitten. I think had a cat and a kitten. Both had claws, and the kitten, especially like in the middle of the night, would pounce on my feet. And, you know, not having cats and kind of not giving a shit about cats either. Like one night, it's like I felt this like pounce on my feet, claws in my toes, like biting my toes and claws in my feet, and just instinctively reacting. And I hear this, and then something hits the wall. And then magically, the cat never bothered me again.
Again. It's amazing how that works.
It's like, I didn't mean to, but
stuff happens.
Yeah. Anyway, so what do we got?
All right. We got a female listener submitted question. Men complimenting women.
Yeah.
You ready for this one, CJ? It's a long question
or a statement.
No, this has got a long thought to it. So I figure we'll start the night off.
Summarizing or telling the whole thing?
No, I'm just going to read the whole thing.
Fair enough. Let's go.
Okay. Many women notice that when they first start seeing someone, that men are aloof with compliments and aloof with compliments, and women are craving them. What?
Nothing go on.
Oh. Yeah. He's just being
for example, sending him pictures to your man and talking to him and getting back a nice thumbs up or nothing. This would be just at the start of the relationship. So right off the get-go, many women tend to let their brain take over and overanalyze it. Oh, yeah. Then it snowballs into, he must not like me, blah, blah, blah. Some women, especially younger ones, spiral out of control in their heads about this. It's not saying you're beautiful or pretty or you're looking amazing, a conscientious choice by some men. Is there a reason for that we don't understand?
So basically,
is there a reason we don't compliment women early on? Look, I could have said it all that way, but I thought it was good to read it all. So,
I was asking, are you going to summarize?
No, I'm not summarizing this
No.
I don't know. How long you been dating your girl now, CJ? Now engaged.
I think, God damn it, I don't know. 6, 7 years.
Good thing she doesn't listen to the
podcast. Well, I mean, whenever we get married, it restarts, so I stop counting.
Okay.
Yeah. You know she's going to ask you those questions later on.
I think this year will be 7.
7.
Well, so technically, the start of next year, the very first day. So we're past 6.5.
Okay.
Fair.
So did I compliment her at the start? Is that...
Well, it's just why don't some men compliment women, especially early on, or kind of stay, you know, they don't give
aloof, not aloof, aloof.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't give a.
It sounds like lufta.
Yep.
Like the totally. Bees in the shower.
Yep.
Lufa. Are you loofing in the shower? Okay.
No, that's something else.
Or keeping the bullets in the chamber for later. It's a good question, I think.
You're thinking? I think there's a lot of men that make a conscious effort, but those are usually the men that have their shit together. And they know what to do. Because you can over compliment a woman early on, and that's actually a turnoff, even though it's one of those things. It's like, well, I want to be complimented all the time.
No, you don't.
You may say that's what you want, but that's not what you actually need, because it doesn't create a fantasy or anything else. All you got is a boot licking, ass kissing
simp
putting you up on a pedestal type thing, and the next thing you know, you friend zone them because all they do is give compliments.
If you get a lot of compliments at the start, it's kind of like having a yes man. Just them telling you that something's great, it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But if they tell you it seldomly, then it actually means something. It's kind of like having cake every day. Is the cake still that good? I mean, it's still good, but it's not like something you look forward to. If you have it on special occasions, that's something you look forward to. So it means just that much more.
Which reminds me, I need to get another piece of cheesecake before he devours it all. That's going to be the evening snack, bulking dude.
All I know is that he's a good person because he had cheesecake instead of a real cake.
Real cake.
Oh, that's all we have. We get cheesecakes for our birthdays. Yeah, he takes after me in that aspect. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, and these days, how many guys, right, are too scared to say, like, they don't, or they're, like, they're not going to say anything at all. Like, they're just, you know, talking to a woman is, oh, my God, like, you know, or there are dudes that are worried they're going to say the wrong thing, mm-hmm. or not say it the right way, or whatever.
Well, I think so a lot end of those up not guys
saying
anything
at all.
I think a lot of those guys are the ones that overcompliment women because they don't know what to say, because they can't think of, they can't just hold an actual conversation. So they just think, I think they almost go into compliment mode back to the,
it like overly creepy too.
Yeah. Very creepy. If you don't know yourself, you come off. Yeah. You sound like, you end up sounding like a creep. So if you know yourself, yeah.
I think that's the other, and I totally agree with you on the, there are dudes who do it purposely, because it's more, you don't want to open up the dam. So it's more of a trickle, but it's done consciously. I'm not going to say, I may think, holy shit, but my response is going to be dialed back purposely, because just it's part of the game. There's that, you don't want to lay all your cards down.
So here's all my trump cards.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What are we going to do next time? You know, it's like,
now everyone, there's no more game.
Yeah. you throw out all your trump cards on the first hand, it's like, well, why would I go out a second time with you or a third? It's that's and all it's you got. It's
part of the chase or part of the right the, yeah. the game the,
back
that
back and forth.
Yeah,
a little bit of cat and mouse. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where's the fun in that? If you
just is some of that too, you're not
the first 5 minutes. There's nothing else.
Some
to
of that
do.
Too.
Take a nap.
Shit! Now I lost the bust a nut comment in 5 minutes. I totally lost my train of thought.
How many of them pre-ejaculate before even that, and just give them compliments shit. Before they even go out on the date? You know, it's like. Oh, you look so gorgeous on your IG, blah, 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 or whatever. And it's like, save that till you meet them in person.
They got nothing to prove.
Yeah. Well, and there's another aspect with the social media. If they're on one of the social medias, they're getting hounded and complimented so much that it almost falls on deaf ears. So if you're a guy that does all that complimenting, you're just part of the whole big groupie thing at that point. Whereas you're a person that holds back or consciously is thinking about it, you're the abnormal, and that will make you
interested. There's interest. Yeah. Interest. And yeah.
Isn't there a terrible thing? Because if you tell them a compliment, it gets kind of lost in the echo chamber. But if you throw them a backhanded compliment, that sticks around longer.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it is how some people's minds work.
You know, it's kind of crazy. It's like the teasing that kids do in like elementary school, like kindergarten. I know there's a meme out there that says hair pulling isn't just for preschool kind of thing. But
sometimes you throw rocks at your crush.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's, you know, in elementary school, especially those early years, right? Kindergarten, first, second grade, whatever. There's teasing, there's making fun of in just really innocent, playful ways. But how, you know, that's kind of where flirting starts, or that's where all those things started, sorts of things start. And you kind of give shit to somebody and, hey, that's great, except I saw you suck here. Like, I was thinking of an experience in drum corps where one of the best color guard chicks, she's like, seriously, Jim, you're giving me a complex. It's like, oh no, you're actually by far like, you're, you know, 100% better than everybody else. But I was just, you know, I didn't explain all of this to her the way I am right this second, but it's like, I'm just giving you shit because
I can.
Yeah, and you're interested, so like, I mean, there's just, yeah, so there's, I mean, you know, it, so as adults, right, there's part of that game, and especially in this day and age, right, where attention is
fleeting.
Let's see.
Well, it's, or in a way, it's real, it's not
attention, it's currency.
Yeah. And so where there are these simps out there that are like, oh my God, that's so, you're so beautiful, you're so whatever on IG. You could get hit up in so many ways and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. So like you said, like you guys were saying, kind of running counter to that gets you noticed, because you're not just, oh, yet another simp who's gave me $50 because I posted a picture of my feet on Instagram. Like, anyway.
Think I actually pay money for my feet because I need to pay for the sweating somehow.
You know, funny, it doesn't work that way. Like, we could go online. Well,
I don't know. Do you have feminine looking feet, CJ?
No.
Are they, do you like wax them or anything? Trim the nails, paint them,
wax their feet?
I don't know.
Well, if
you have hairy feet,
I don't.
You don't have hairy feet?
No.
Oh, so you'd be good. You just probably need to trim the nails up, paint them real pretty, and I bet you could get some people paying for it.
I am the worst person when it comes to cutting toenails. I usually have some fucking claws.
Well, go get you a pedicure. Tell them to paint it up with whatever the ask him what the going color that everyone's buying.
What is it? French. What is that called?
French manicure.
Sure.
Pedicure. Yeah, is that what it's called?
Yeah, French pedicure.
I'm just happy that you know what it is.
Yeah. Now that we're talking about it, part of me wants, I'll give you money.
Are you going to pay me?
To see you put a post of your feet on IG. I mean.
No. Okay, but we got to have options here, Jimmy. We got to. He's got to have a pedicure and they got to be painted.
Yeah, like, I mean, the more we talk about this, the more it's like, shit, I'd be willing to pay.
I'm down.
I think you should get a French pedicure, get them cleaned up, and then, but not just do solid colors. I think you should do something like where they put the little stars, or they put the,
yeah, it's fancy,
fancy medallions and
bedazzles. Or put a little jewels on them on your things. And then take pictures. Yeah,
I got to be honest, I wouldn't care because nobody sees my feet.
Yeah, well, I know, but. I'm one of those people that keep
my socks on even in the house.
Well, fine, which makes this even funnier.
Yeah.
I'll have before, more of a reason than never take my socks off.
Have before and afters, but the before is just your feet in work boots. And then the after is the really nice done up
and like pedicure. Really cute thongs.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa! I was just saying, your feet. Like, I don't know that I'm paid for anything else.
Flip flops are called thongs, you pervert.
Uh huh. I know that's not what you meant.
What, you want me to put lingerie on my feet? Are you really into the feet like that? $50.
No, but sure as shit, there's somebody out there. $50 is $50. Man's gonna make a living. Oh my god.
I'm not opposed to that.
I mean, the sad truth is, you know, there's some dude. There's at least one, and if there's one, there's at least a dozen that would be like, oh my god. Like, they
already said you were gonna pay for this, so I don't know. You can't talk for anybody else. You're already in there.
No, fair. Like, it's like a dare or a bet at this point. From my perspective.
Yes.
I know Nate would chip in too. So
yeah.
I put it on IG. I'm good with that. The whole video. Allie would love to watch that.
You know, I think the whole video, we could have that for when we get Patreon going of you getting your toenails painted up.
The worst part is going to be somebody else touching my feet.
Yeah.
It took Allie 5 years to be able to touch my feet.
Yeah.
Have you ever
gotten a foot rub?
I don't like it. I don't like people touching my feet.
Oh, you've never had a good foot rub then.
I have a weird thing with feet. I think they're the most disgusting thing out there.
Really? My dad's kind of that. In that vein, I don't think it's
never had a good foot rub. Man, you're missing out.
I just don't.
Mm-mm. He doesn't like taking off his shoes, or and if he does, like, he's like, you, his socks are gonna be on, but he never takes off his. I mean, there are times like he gets in a pool, goes swimming without, like,
I'm not gonna swim with socks on, but.
But
I'd rather not.
Every other time, but outside of that or in the shower, there are shoes on his feet. There's just a thing.
Yeah. So that just makes you getting your toenails all cleaned up and painted even more important. I think that'll become the cover of the podcast.
My toes.
Yeah, your feet will be.
Hey, then people got to pay to watch.
That's fair.
Yeah. If you see the feet up on a certain podcast, it's behind a paywall.
And I got permanent socks on right now. So. or how white my feet are compared to my legs. Permanent socks.
Permanent socks. Nice. I don't know. Did we answer this question good? I think so. I mean,
if enough, not, let us know. Yeah, and word it a different way.
I happen to know who asked the question because it was submitted to me. It was submitted a while back, but it's like, yeah, I'll throw it out to the podcast. So,
yeah. Well, we keep trying to play catch up and we still
have a lot.
We're doing good with ideas and questions. It's just trying to filter
keep
through
up with them. Yeah. So, I'll definitely hear if the question was answered sufficiently enough.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I could go on to like the next thing, but it's almost like I want to leave something dangling a little, and that'll be for another podcast. So we'll see if your listener asks the follow-up question to this, because I already know what the follow-up question is.
Well, I thought she was just going to be a loss on the thought of my feet.
All right. Is our best work done when we're young? Define young.
Yeah, well, so Mike Cernovich posted something on Twitter, and he said the greatest creative work of men in music is done in teenage years or early 20s. Extended adolescence means society misses out on revolutionary work as men play video games, watch sports, you know, maybe for the best, but Pol Pot began his Marxist transition early, Lenin too, and that was a riff off of, you know, some of the founding fathers were really young, right? They were, you know, when they started doing things, Jefferson, Hamilton was young. Thomas Jefferson was in his early 30s, I think. Madison was like in his 20s. But then Cernovich goes on to say, look at any album you consider iconic, then cross-reference by age of artist. I've done this research. As always, I don't understand why people try to quibble. There's even lots of research on IQ by age, crystallized versus fluid. Don't waste those early years. And so maybe it's like, it's not that you're necessarily... maybe best is too strong of a word, because then I was thinking about it a bit more and then said, or is the point more that your truly revolutionary work done when you're younger? That's not to say you can't do maybe you do some great stuff when you're older based on experience and all those sorts of things. Yeah. Yeah.
It's always the open magnus is later, but the revolutionary thing is younger. I can agree with that. The thing that I take, I don't think the best work of art is the first, but it's the first one for people to actually hear because it's different. So whenever I think about like him saying that people's best work of art is whenever they're younger, I start thinking about bands because that's what I like listening to music. And there's a lot of bands that have very early albums. It's always like the first or second that puts them on a scene. So that's how they actually become big. And then they can keep growing. But that's not always their work of art that's the best. It's always the one that made the most impact initially. And a lot the better content comes later whenever it becomes more marinated. But then, yes, a lot of artists kind of drop off into later years because it becomes repetitive and then they want to venture off to somebody else because they've already mastered that one skill. And yes, a lot of the revolutionary fathers were probably younger, but they were actually young and hungry. A lot of the old people wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where I'm going from. It's our society isn't set up for younger people to do their best work.
No.
You know, I mean, the states got it pushed out to, they don't want you to finish school till you're in your mid 20s. You know, where you look at the father and you look at our age spans and everything now, I think that fluctuates. So when you're going younger, but if you're looking at our founding fathers, you know, the top end average age was everyone was kicking off in their 40s. They only had 40 years to figure stuff out. So being, you know, they were starting families at 13, 14 years old. So it's like, it's hard to compare a story, you know, if the average
historically,
age,
yeah,
it's hard to go, oh, well, they were all younger and figuring this out. Yeah, because they'd already lived life since they were 13, starving, fighting a war, you know, 13, 14 years old, already lived through a couple of wars, became an officer, da, 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 da. It's like,
or you're working the land, or you're like, there's more of a survival aspect to it.
But I mean, take like some soldiers that really saw some nasty stuff overseas, you know, they come back, they just do some genius stuff. It's like, okay, why? Well, they were high impact, high energy, high, it like manifested it. So, and even on the music, I like CJ's kind of more point compared to someone like Lennon or some of these others, because they're one-offs. You're talking about one person out of millions. Okay. Look at, you know, and not holding it against them because it's great. But I think a revolutionary word is the thing. One, younger guys don't have families, so that's not holding them back. So that gives them more of a God complex of, I can't die, and even if I do, who does it affect?
Yeah.
Once you get a family and you start having kids and you start putting roots down, it's much harder to be revolutionary because you don't want to lose your legacy that you've built up. CJ made the comment, the old guys wouldn't have done it. No, because they don't want to lose anything that they've worked hard for, where the young guys don't care because they don't have any of that in the first place. Mm-hmm. I mean, young bands, you know, they don't have a reputation yet, so they can do whatever the hell they want. Yeah. But then it's like almost once they get a reputation, and then you can be like, oh, they're boring. Yeah, it's when you're younger, you can get away with more because you have less responsibility to pull it off. So on one hand, I would say a lot of your, I think revolutionary work, but I wouldn't go with best work. I think there's,
best, yeah, that's what later. I was, I think, yeah, that's why later. I was thinking about it. Like, it's one thing to like groundbreaking, revolutionary, whatever you want to call it. It's sort of like a that work is it, you could definitely see coming from young energy, right? There's just that, like you said, I don't have kids, but even if you did, you know, in your early 20s, late teens, early 20s, right? There's still that raw energy that's needs to get focused, or you need to kind of go through that process, right? It's like warrior, lover, king. Like you, regardless of what you're doing and what you have, whether you have kids or not, or a family or not, you still got to go through that process. And so there is that sort of lightning in a bottle moment in those early years, because you have that energy, you're trying to figure out who you are, what you want to do, the hustle. Like, I mean, I think you're right too. Society, like, we're now at a point where, or we built it to a point where you're kind of, all that's almost suppressed in a way.
Exactly. I think a lot of it's suppressed. It's like your fringe guys that get out of that
system. Yeah, yeah.
They're the ones that can grow and do some of that stuff because they're not stuck in the society path of, it was like a childhood specialty violinist that I was listening to, like 2 or 3 years old, doing whatever. And it's like, okay,
that shit's weird.
Yeah, it's like they're amazing. But they're not doing anything new. They're not doing anything revolutionary. She has a mind.
It's just violin. Still, yeah, whatever song.
It's repetitive. Yeah. It's already been created. And I think a lot of people screw up some of their works It's like there's not a whole lot new under the sun, but there's people reinventing what's already been. It's like it's new to them. So it's like, yeah, it's when's the last big revolutionary thing that there's been in music? You know, I'm talking like the harpies chord, or not the harpies. What was before the piano? I'm trying to think of the instrument.
Was a harpsichord, but then there was something before that, which I can't think of what it was called.
Yeah, or the invent of the pipe organ. You know, the guys that did it first are the most awesome. Why? Because it was new.
Yeah.
Why was their stuff so good? Because they built these machines to make these sounds to do this thing. But it's like,
well, and then composers. I mean, Mozart was a child prodigy, but that was there's various eras, right? There's Baroque, which is Bach and those sorts of things. There's the classical, which I think started with Mozart, Romantic, which is I think Beethoven's kind of in that, Tchaikovsky, and then modern things where it's atonal, it's more math, like it's this weird abstraction of, right, just like painting, right, and sculpture, right, there's this like sort of we're doing humans, and then Picasso comes along, you know, and then you go through the various stages, the Renaissance, where it's like lifelike, realistic, but then you get to impressionists, and then, you know, guys like Van Gogh or even Picasso, right, who's trying to abstract things, and it's and then you get dudes or Jackson Pollock that just splatters paint, or I forget who the guy is, he just basically painted a canvas one color and called it this thing. Like, I mean, it's, you're trying to abstract, like, I think there's an abstraction, but then after that it's like, then it's all the same, like.
Well, and you know, even then, it's like a lot of these guys with, especially in music, to me, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just someone that comes out and reinvents it. Because even the guys back then, it's like they heard music before and then they went, well, how can we twist this and change it to make her sound? You know, it's like a guitarist. Guitars, for the most part, standard guitars have all of the same six strings. It's up to the what?
There's a guitarist called Tim Henderson, and he does musical math. His band is Polythia. If anybody's listening, listen to this band. It's called Goat, GOAT. This is totally different than anything that you've ever heard.
Well,
it's like its own new thing.
Is I bet you somewhere past in history, somebody already did it.
I disagree.
I math and music have been going, but what I'm getting at is it happened over someplace in like the Middle East or Asia or whatever else. And if you were to find someone from over there, they'd be like, oh, I recognize that. But for us, it's new and inventive. And that's what I think a lot of music is. It's like, oh, they heard something, or how can we change it? Or the six-string guitar. It can make so many different sounds. It's up to the artist to interpret it, but it's still the same notes. It's still, you know, the same instrument. But I think it's up to the creator. I remember, I can't think of the heavy metal band, but the guy's like, I really don't know why people like me. I play one key. But he's like one of the big European guys. He's like, I just hammer, look good, blah, blah, and I keep whatever. And it's like, but I play everything in one key. He's like, I don't know any other keys. But it works for him in their music. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. But it's like he learned that coming up through when he was younger, then made something of it. But yeah, even when it comes to music, CJ, I'll argue all day. Someone someplace has already done it, but someone reinvents it, and it might take
generations. There's a difference between doing something and mastering something.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you can do anything, but are you good at it? Are you the best at it? It's like saying that I can play golf, but can you play like golf like Tiger Woods did back in the day?
We're not.
I don't think anybody did.
We're not talking about video games there, CJ. You're talking real golf, right?
Yeah.
Tiger You're not Woods. Talking about the little arcade golf thing at the bar?
Yeah.
Real life is twice as hard as a video game. I wouldn't say twice. I would say way more than that. But
I was going to say
golf. Have you played Super Mario Golf? That's fucking hard. No, I'm just kidding.
I can tell you that golf is so hard that I stopped playing it.
Yeah.
I started playing disc golf because I'm actually good at it.
Yeah. Well, it's those lats. Those lats get in your way of holding the club and getting your body position, where with the discus, you got that extra weight for momentum.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
It makes more sense in my head.
I think so.
There.
Yeah. Well, you're like a Greek god with your discus, or you're like a, I don't know, with the golf club. What would you be? A Scottish Highlander with the golf club? You're more going for the Greek god look.
Yeah, you're going to say a fat ass like, goofy pants.
Like Hercules playing golf.
Yeah. You'd never see Hercules playing golf. Yeah. You know?
No.
Yeah.
Dorian Yates or playing golf.
I don't think the fuckers could throw a disc. Their lats would get in the way.
I bet they could throw a disc.
I bet they would tear something.
Yeah. But they probably would, but I bet they could throw a disc. Better than think the golf. Could you imagine Ronnie Coleman reaching down to grab a golf club?
I don't think he can really reach for anything since he can barely walk.
Well, no. Back, I'm talking in his prime, not now.
Oh.
Yeah.
He'd probably be way better at disc golf than he would be actual golf.
Yeah.
Although, he actually connected with the fucking ball. That ball's gone.
Yeah. That'd be the most awkward swing ever. Y'all thought Charles Barkley was bad. Holy fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it? It was the video of his swing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He even stops.
He paused like three times.
But then he went and, it's a coach, I think, that was even helping Tiger out. I don't know if he stayed with it or not, but it's like because they showed a video of Charles Barkley with his terrible swing, and then it showed him after I don't know how long he was coached, but he finally got it right, and it's like he actually looked like a golfer, not whatever the fuck he was doing before getting a coach. So anyway,
all right,
I do think one last thought ahead. On that
one more thought
I do think you know, there is something to be said for that revolutionary work, like CJ was saying, that gets you noticed. Then the question is, do you have what it takes to capitalize on that? Have some lasting power that ultimately gets you to, you know, like that opus of, you know, whatever this sort of pinnacle kind of work, I think. That's even rarer still, right? It's one thing to get noticed, and there's lots of bands, lots of artists, lots of you name it, the foot athletes that can kind of, holy crap, the way this dude runs or throws the ball or whatever. Michael Jordan, you know, just the way he moved. I mean, it's just like whoever, like pick your person throughout the years and pick your thing. But can you capitalize on that? And can you like leverage that initial rush of, oh my God, this notoriety or this fame, can you capitalize on that and really craft some really good stuff? I think but you got to get there first. So how many people don't even do that?
True.
A lot of the playing field is a lot higher too. Every year, everything gets harder to be the best. And that's kind of that's a weird thing that like you would think with the times they would be it easier because people are more lazy, but why are the athletes better than they were 10 years ago? Why are the records getting better, beat every year? It's because the best keeps getting better.
Yep. Well, and they keep pushing.
It's all genetics. It's just genetics.
Fair.
Yeah. You know, they're making the superhumans now. So, yeah, genetics.
We're picking our partner on genetics now.
Yeah.
What's your 40 time? Oh, we can calculate.
Yeah, what's your 40 time?
What's your one rep max?
One rep max.
Overhead press, deadlift, and squat.
What's your barbell row? Yeah, make a Dorian Yates 2.0. Come on now.
Holy shit. All right, what's next?
Were kings or queens more likely to wage war?
Yes.
No, it's one or the other. Were kings or queens more likely to wage war? So were kings more likely or queens more likely?
Are we talking about whose idea history. It was or who actually initiated it?
Who initiated? I'm thinking more in terms of who
initiated. Who said,
we're going to war. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily fought in
the person but started that's talking into somebody's ear, but then the other person actually says it and initiates it out loud.
Mm. Well, seduction is a form of power.
Yeah. I would have to say that kings are the ones that actually you would see initiating it, but I'm guessing that queens were the ones whispering in their ears more or less. Are you going to be a bitch?
No. Okay. That? We'll cut it back down to the fact of like, if the queen's in charge, she's either got a consort or it'd be like, Catherine or Elizabeth or something like that. Doesn't really have a king talking. I'm thinking that is a separate thing. I see where you're going with it with CJ, and I agree, but I'm going like the very top power at the time. So I'm saying if there's a queen, it's just the queen. Like right now in England, there's just Queen Elizabeth. There's no king.
How many times in history has there actually been just a queen?
Oh, quite a few.
Compared to there, kings, though. So I'm guessing the ratio is quite
smaller, but not as small as you think. It averages itself out. It's probably maybe a 2-to-1. But there were a lot of queens. If you're thinking Europe, it's surprisingly how many queens were in charge. Now, interestingly enough, they're usually not in charge for very long. But I would go with queens start more wars with kings. Or more wars than kings. There you go. Queens did. But what's interesting about that is a lot of the kings that started wars, we wouldn't consider very manly in the first place. So they would be like kings that acted more like little bitches. So they're the ones that can be pushed around and, you know, back to what you were saying earlier, who's whispering in their ear to get them to do such and such? Where the queens just, yeah, between that, they're more emotionally, what's the word I'm looking for?
Manipulated?
Yeah, emotionally manipulated. Where if you have a good, solid king, if he's going to war, there's got to be a pretty damn good reason. Where if they can be emotionally manipulated, then those were the ones that were some of the senseless wars, you would call them, over some of the dumber stuff.
Yeah, there was. So I did find something. It said researchers from the University of Chicago studied European rulers between 1480 and 1913 and found European queens were 27% more likely to wage war than kings, with married queens the most likely to go to battle. But in a way, I mean, it makes sense. Like, because I was thinking, like, I know from a parenting perspective, especially with more, with what is it, 40% of homes are single parent families, and of those, they're predominantly predominantly single mothers. And there's higher incidence of spanking and
Screaming,
yelling, and some of that is just, you know, men automatically are bigger, stronger, voices are louder, may have generally speaking a more commanding presence. So when kids are acting out, not that, you know, we've had Anthony on a number of times and other folks, and we've talked about this, you know, you don't want to yell and spank your kids, but just saying, hey guys, cut it out in a normal tone, just because it's a deeper voice and more commanding presence, or, you know, taller, stronger, whatever, than mom. Right. Cause you know, mom could say something, but it's this softer voice. They may look, you know, softer too. Like just the way biology and genetics, I know it's all these days, we can't say that, but you know, how much, just thinking about that though, right. It just makes sense that scales to nation states.
Yeah.
Where they have to yell, they feel like they have to yell louder, or think that they as a, with their king, you know, like their kingdom should yell louder, or be strong, you know, like you were saying, you're kind of emotionally, like if you're acting more emotionally, right, then right, you're going to yell, try and yell louder. You're going to try and that could lead to waging war or more. You know,
you become more boisterous, more.
Yeah. And either you're going to threaten to go to war, but then, you know, especially throughout history, that those threats just naturally become war. So you kind of, once it starts, you can't stop it. But that's something around this question that I was thinking too, is, you know, with mothers who tend to yell more or have to yell louder and louder to get the same response as a father, that it would make sense in a country like a nation state setting where they would want to try and wage more to say, oh, I'm not strong, or I am strong. You could see, you know, the queens of England.
I'm a good ruler.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like Mary Queen of Scots, or you know, any of the British queens, like you could think where they would.
Well, what's screwy is almost like British, French, and queens. They were also intermarried and everything. It's hard to keep track of them unless you actually Google it up and figure out who's who. It was like they were all marrying each other, and it's like trying to keep royalty all, and it's like, well, weren't you two just fighting, and then you guys got married to seal that treaty, but then you turn around, and I mean,
now you're back at it. Yeah. Or now we're over here. Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was an interesting question. And
yeah,
it was all right.
Especially from a historical perspective. Right?
Makes sense.
Yeah, I could. It's, well, isn't that like even along the lines of how many female CEOs go after people or run their businesses into the ground or whatever over something stupid? There was like some articles about that. I was like, I don't know. In the last couple of years, they came out and they were, because there was that big push of there needs to be more female CEOs. And then the articles were coming out that, well, here's why there isn't, you know, they get angry or they put out stupid policy or whatever. And then the next thing you know, their businesses are going bankrupt and such and such. And it's like, well,
you know,
they can't, they make the tough the decisions. Can they, you know, or, they're making policy to try to keep everybody happy. Well, you can't keep everybody happy in a business. That's the whole idea of being in business, you know? And it's like, and are there probably some really super good ones out there? Yep. But at the same token, you're like,
business isn't personal.
Yeah.
But
you got to be able to
emotional people. Everything's personal.
Right.
And yeah. Females are emotionally driven creatures more than males on average.
On average.
So, yeah. Not all, but yeah, cold hard facts.
Well, even, well, my mom, like, whether she's at work or home or whatever, there's when she gets upset, whether she wants to cry or not, she's crying, or she gets, or and not upset, sad because something didn't go right. Like, she could be really angry, but there's still tears, and there's still, like, there's just this emotion. And, you know, over the years, I know she's tried to, you know, at work especially, tries to hide it, tries to, you know, but, you know, there's a reality that says you're wired how you're wired. And women are more emotional, and heaven forbid we acknowledge that in today's society, right? Just the way men handle stress and the way women handle stress are two different things, right? We're like pack mules. Like, okay, here's some other shit I need to deal with. All right, just throw it on back. And we just kind of keep trudging. We may move a step slower because there's more weight, but we're going to keep trudging along. We're not, it is what it is, and we'll get the thing done. But women handle emotions differently than men. But we, you know, we can't acknowledge that, and or even talk about what that looks like in the workplace. If you have a woman CEO versus a male CEO, like, just the way they're going to handle things, the way they're going to approach things. Sure, 80% of it might be similar, but then it's that last 20%. Whether it's genetics or biology and hormones and blah, 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 blah. It's just one of those things that we can't talk about.
And I think there's where it goes down into the gutter even more, because you can't talk about it. You can't have a healthy conversation on it. Well, yeah. I'm in charge. Da, da, da. It's like that chip comes out on the shoulder, and it's like, okay. However, if you look at it from this logical standpoint of blah, 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 you got to get through that. Or if you're having a bad day, you know, you can't, you're not allowed to have those conversations. Yeah. It's like, how do you work around those little issues or whatever else? Or, hey, just go, I need a moment to, you know, breathe. Okay, take your moment and then let's tackle this.
So. Yeah, and you know, there's both men and women that are self-medicating, right, every day because of all the shit that they're dealing with at work or in their lives. And, but because, you know, how much of that is, well, I can't.
And really all they need is sex. That's the problem. You know, they're self-medicating. They just need to get laid.
But, you know, I can't show all this stuff at work, or if I do show this at work, then I'm weak or I'm not an effective leader or all that sort of stuff. But, you know,
and all I can think about is there's nothing more frustrating than blue balls. Thanks. Why is Jim being a dick today? He has got laid.
But, you know, it's like finding that, like, CEO that's just stressed out and everything. If you could find the one, the guy that could walk up to her and be like, you just need to get laid. Let's hit the office.
Yeah.
You know, come out, do your thing, but you look stressed.
Shall we retire to the executive suite?
Suite. There you go. Because that's what the dudes are doing. Oh, I'm stressed. I need to go relieve some stress. And you know, they're out there getting laid. It's like, okay, it could be as simple as sex.
Yeah,
90% of your stress can be solved by just
good sex.
Yeah. Just good sex. It makes life better.
But shit, even people these days don't even, men and women don't know how to even do that, right? So,
yeah, exactly. You know, it's like,
yeah. Yeah, it's, I weep for society. Like, I'm glad I'm not of it. So check out barbarianrhetoric.com to get a, so you can develop a barbaric mindset and be in the world but not of it.
Of it.
And I guess I'm implicitly, explicitly stating that you'll get laid more.
It won't hurt.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, it might hurt, but I mean,
in a good way.
Yeah. In the best possible sense of that.
It hurts so good.
And on that note.
Yes. I think we should call it a night. I don't have anything else. So until next time we roll around with some good, wonderful advice to save the world. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at Steel Janz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world.
An apex predator. A civilized world.